You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name is Joe DiBiase, and I'm having a very difficult time figuring out what's live, what's not with the Olympics on TV.
And I'm Jordan Hanskin, and I think 3-on-3 basketball is the stupidest Olympic sport in the history of Olympic sports.
And this is the Locked On Sabres podcast. You're not a big fan? I feel like I haven't watched any of it, but
I watched a little bit of it. It was exactly as stupid as you could imagine it would be. It's like half core. It's like the games that you would play with your friends.
Mm-hmm. And the U.S.
And the quality
isn't even
of basketball is about the same.
And the U.S. isn't
it's
even
brutal.
In it.
Well, we didn't make it. We weren't good enough.
Because what? They had like Division III kids out there probably
I'm
trying
sure
to qualify.
if you're any like self-respecting basketball player, do you want to play in the 3-on-3 games? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to play in the good ones?
I see. At that point, I'm like, all right, let's throw some retiree guys out there. You know, like if that's what happens in the Big Three League, right? That Ice Cube runs.
Oh, I watched some of that too. That's tough.
It's the 4-point circle that they have way out there. I don't know. Does my voice sound shot at all? I'm coming off a night where I hosted 5.5 hours of NHL draft coverage on WGR. And it actually seemed like it flew by and there was a lot happening. And well, it seemed like you were waiting on a lot to happen, I guess. And then at the end, it's like, all right, ready to go home. We're starting to wind things down. And boom, the Sabres are trading Sam Reinhart to the Florida Panthers. We're waiting on Kevin Adams, who is nowhere to be found for his post-draft press conference. And it's like, all right, let's see what they got. And we're recording this at 10:15 in the morning the next day, and we still don't really know officially what they got. So I don't know. How long's your beard waiting for Reinhart to be traded?
I've never seen a trade like that. I don't remember a trade like this where it took this long. Now, I guess it's like sounds like there's going to be like conditionals.
Yep.
Would be my guess. So like, I guess that took hours or something.
Kevin's like,
I'm tired. I have a press conference to do. I want to go home.
My original theory was they didn't want to announce the trade without telling somebody that was involved in the deal before it got reported. And I immediately started looking up what time it was in Finland, because Florida's best prospect that's not in the NHL yet is Anton Lundell, who plays in Finland and lives in Finland. And it was 7 o'clock in the morning. So my thought was, all right, maybe it's this kid. Maybe this kid's involved and they don't want to tell everybody what the trade was until they tell him. So we're just waiting on Lundell to wake up, basically. But that's obviously not the case. That's not what's holding it up, because now it's probably like, what, 2 o'clock in the afternoon there. I don't know, from reports early on Twitter, and of course we're going to get to all that happened yesterday with the Rasmus Ristolainen trade, with what happened in the draft, and the fact that they did not trade Jack Eichel. But Reinhart is what's kind of happening right now. It doesn't sound all that promising of a return, at least if you're trusting what the rumors are on Twitter. Chad DeDominicis said it sounds like Damon Levy, a goalie prospect who was a 7th-round pick of Florida, but has had an incredible route of development since then. He surprisingly earned the Canadian starting goaltender job at the World Juniors and was amazing, like set records when he was their starting goaltender, as well as a high pick is part of the return. And it sounds like it will be a conditional 2022 first. If you're reading the tea leaves right now, maybe Frank Vetrano has been thrown in on the deal as well. So I don't know. It's not, I guess, nothing, but it's maybe not as promising as we might have been expecting the first time we saw Florida.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't sound like you're getting the like grade A prospect that you would expect from Reinhart. You're getting a goalie prospect that is, what would you call it, late bloomer? Like,
he might have become
like, he's probably considered a high-level prospect now, based on all the stuff that you've said. But it doesn't sound like you're getting like, oh, this guy was their first round pick and he's been awesome in juniors. Like you're like the consistent star caliber prospect. It sounds like you're getting a guy that like, you know, started out as like an obscure person and then turned out to be something that's way more promising.
Right. I think that's a good way of putting it. And like, he would be a guy that just kind of gets thrown into the mix. Like, he could become the Sabres starting goaltender, no doubt. I'm not banking on it. Like, if they had acquired Spencer Knight in this trade, it'd be like, all right, this is our franchise goalie. Like, this guy's going to start for us even next season. It's not that. It's kind of, all right, throw him in the mix with Luukkonen, throw him in the mix with Eric Portillo, who's going to be starting for a super team, the Michigan Wolverines, next year in the NCAA. By the way, they ended up with 4 of the top 5 draft picks are going to be on Michigan next year, and 7 first-round picks total are going to be on the Michigan Wolverines next year. Their starting goalie will be Eric Portillo, who was the Sabres' 3rd-round pick a couple of years ago. That's crazy. You don't even see that in football. Right?
Like, would they be the best team in college sports history not to win a title if they didn't win?
I think it's possible, because even like, I'm trying to make a comparison.
I don't think there's been any team like in football or anything that's had that many. Kentucky basketball's had a couple.
Yeah.
Like, where they've had like their entire starting lineup was a lottery pick.
Right. But even Alabama football, like, they'll have like 5 first round picks. They don't have 4 of the top 5 ever, yeah, though.
Yeah, and I also doubt, like, it's just kind of the way things go, is that not all these players are going to be awesome in the NHL. Like, that's just like the Kentucky basketball team. Like, none of those, most of those guys weren't very good in the pros. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how great actually are they? But like, the hype's there. I think they would be on the list if they didn't win at all.
I'm gonna have to order the Big Ten Network. That's what I'm gonna have to do. That's probably where you'd watch them, right? How much hockey do they put on the Big Ten Network?
Big Ten Network, yeah,
probably a good amount.
They put some on like ESPNU. They'll probably put Michigan on a lot.
We'll have to see. I'm gonna want to watch them maybe as much as I want to watch the Sabres this year, honestly. But the Sabres only ended up with Owen Power. Well, they have Portillo, I guess, in net, who will be their starting goaltender next season. But anyways, back to the Reinhardt deal. Yeah, Anton Lundell, to me, when I first saw Florida, was like, all right, that's the dream. Spencer Knight would be really interesting, and he's obviously very valuable. He's probably the number one goalie prospect in the world right now. And I am always hesitant to go down that path, because when you have a goalie with that type of pedigree, then it's like, all right, if he comes in and he's great, well, guess what? I got to pay this guy, what, $9+ million when his extension comes up. And I'm typically the guy that doesn't like being in a spot where I've got to pay a goalie that much. But still, the value is there with Spencer Knight. Doesn't look like it's going to be him. Doesn't look like it's going to be Owen Tippett, who was the 10th overall pick by Florida a few years back. He's had a little bit of a slow development track so far. And it doesn't sound like they're going with Grigory Denisenko, who's a Russian prospect who's highly ranking for the Florida Panthers. That's not surprising, because the Sabres just don't go near Russian prospects. They had another opportunity with the 14th pick. Fedor Svechkov was one of the highest ranked players available, a centerman that was available to them. And they don't go near it because they don't have any prospect scout that was probably watching the VHL. So where we're at is, at this point, if you had to guess at what this package is going to be, it's going to be a 2022 first round pick that might be conditional. We'll see, as well as the goalie prospect we just mentioned, Devon Levi, and then forward Frank Vetrano. Vetrano's 27 years old. He scored 20 goals recently. I don't know. What does he mean to you in this deal, considering he's also a UFA at the end of the year?
It's one of those things where I think they had to put some salary onto to make this trade work. I can't imagine Florida has the ability to just take on $6 million.
Plus a
pivot. Yeah. Like, it's not, it seems like a serviceable player. I don't imagine him being a part of the long-term Saber solution, but like, you know, it'll just be money off the books. Like, after a year, we'll have the Reinhardt contract will be gone and Vetrano might be gone. And then we can put $6 million elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's just, it's been becoming even more and more clear that the Sabres have a long-term vision, which is, to be honest, very exciting. Like, I think that this is, overall, I thought yesterday was an excellent day for the Sabres. Now, I think you could say 14 was, we talk about 14, but it's like, end all be all, it is 14. Like, you're picking 14th in the draft. Like, The second pick is you just don't know at that point. I don't think we'll talk more about the trades and stuff, but like,
yeah.
I'm a lot happier as a Sabres fan today than I was, 24 hours ago.
I agree with that. We'll get into that right now. Just to round out the Reinhardt part on Vetrano, he has 58 goals in his last three seasons for the Panthers. And of course, two shortened years because of COVID. So if you average it out by games played, he has been on a 23 goal pace on an 82 game schedule in the last three seasons. So since he got to Florida, he's become a 20 goal scorer. So, you know, he's 27. I would not be opposed to keeping him around long term. He's also a guy you could spin at the deadline as a rental because he's also a very good two-way player, it seems. He doesn't have a lot to his game other than skating and shooting. But, I mean, if you could have
something we could use both of. We could use a little bit of that.
Right. Like, he's not a good stick handler. He is not really good at creating for himself. But, he's fast and he can shoot. And you know what? Like, if you had two assets to your game, I'd take those.
It does sound like he'll fit into Granato. Like,
yeah.
The way Granato plays, like, it's all, it seems like it's all about skating really fast.
And have to have some veterans, right? Like, just a few.
You have to. Otherwise, and also, like, I think you don't want the team just to be run by, like, 21-year-olds that aren't even, like, they're not even, like, going to be, like, they're not even that good.
Right.
You're not even having, like, we don't have, like, any star. I mean, it depends on what you get for Eichel. But, like, we don't have, like, we don't really, our star is not going to show up until at least, or our new star prospect is not going to show up until at least March.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So, like, you do need some guys in here. And, you know, I know it doesn't matter, like, but, like, he was a part of Florida. So, like, you know, they've had a pretty successful turnaround. You know, just adding another guy in there.
Show us how to make the playoffs. Someone show the kids how to make the playoffs.
Show them how to make it.
Yeah.
He'll be like, there's nothing I can do.
You make a good point, though, about, like, feeling better today than we did yesterday. And I think the Ristolainen trade has got to be at the heartbeat of that because we all knew they were drafting Owen Power. It's kind of funny that, like, yesterday is Owen Power's day. Like, he's the first overall selection in the draft. He is the Sabres' new star prize possession. And, like, we, like, I know on the, in the 5 hours that I hosted last night on WGR, we maybe talked about Owen Power for 5 minutes because we've known that that was happening for months now. But the Ristolainen trade has got to be the main thing, I think, as to why you feel so good. Nobody expected them to get as much as they did. Even, I think, the most bullish fans on Ristolainen's game, I don't think would have imagined that they would have gotten not only a first-round pick and a second-round pick and then a throw-in defenseman, but the first-round pick was 14th overall. It was the 13th player because of all this nonsense with the Coyotes pick. The NHL couldn't just take them out of the order to make it simpler for everybody. So it's the 14th overall pick, but he was the 13th player selected. I mean, I was blown away. Like, I was looking to see, like, okay, did I get got by a fake account? Because, like, Kevin, the report about Kevin Adams telling other teams, like, no, your first round pick isn't high enough for us on Ristolainen. Like, I would have never imagined that he could have been sitting in that position with Ristolainen.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than a trade where you look at the comments and you have the other team's fans being like, oh my gosh, I hate my team now. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing better than being on that side. We've been on the other side of plenty of them. And it's one of those things where it's like, Adams was right to stick to his guns, and it's nice to see that, you know, the Sabres GM, like, stood strong in his values, didn't get pushed around, and eventually got rewarded for that. It was a great deal. Like, we'll see what the prospect becomes, but I mean, there's no way, even if, like, there's just no way that you could argue that the Sabres lost that trade. Like, it's just, like, a wildly victorious trade considering what we expected. I think people were like, I remember you saying a lot, like, you were like, just give me a second, get me out of here.
Yeah, if the first hadn't been in the deal, I might have been okay with it. Just the second in 2 years, like, all right, fine, I gotta wait, but whatever. He's gone, and I got some value for it. So, yeah, I was blown away by it. And honestly, like, Kevin Adams just kind of showed everybody, like, you didn't need to care about Will Borgen. You didn't need to care about it because we were going to get way higher value than what Borgen is worth.
And I think he had to have known that the, like, because the price of Risto was pretty good, that he's just like, this is a, it's not even a question of who we're protecting here.
Right.
Would we have gotten that for Will Borgen? I don't think so.
No, they certainly would not. How about it for Philadelphia, by the way? Chuck Fletcher, former GM of the Minnesota Wild. This man's made a lot of trades with the Buffalo Sabres. He seems to love all the players on the Buffalo Sabres. And he makes the big premium payment for Ristolainen. It's not even just Ristolainen, right? Like, you had three defensemen that are all big names that everybody to different degrees argues about how good they actually are. They're all big minute eaters, and they were high draft picks, so that can lead you to believe, okay, they're all-star level, franchise level defensemen. And I think a lot of people would tell you they're not as good maybe as the reputation would deserve. And they all got traded for a lot. Oliver Ekman-Larsson goes to Vancouver in a huge deal that sends the ninth overall pick back the other way to Arizona. A huge trade that sends Seth Jones to Chicago, and Columbus acquires the 12th overall pick, as well as a first round pick next year, and then another draft pick. And then Chicago goes on and signs him to a 7-year extension, 8-year extension for $9.5 million per year. He's now the third highest paid defenseman in the league. I don't know. What do you make of these teams paying massive assets for these big name defensemen? And then at the same time, look at the forwards. Like, Pavel Buchnevich was a point-of-game player last year for the Rangers. He gets a second-round pick. Reinhardt had his best season as a pro last year, and he gets a lot less than these defensemen. I don't know. It seemed weird to me that there was this premium on like guys like Ristolainen yesterday.
Yeah, could we put this in, like, maybe it's like fantasy-like terms? Like, is defense like the tight end position where it's like it's not deep? Like, or do they feel like you know what I mean? Like, do they feel like Risto is a lot better than, like, calling people up, like calling in stopgap guys? Like, now, do I think Risto is gonna look better on Philly? Yeah, probably. Like, I imagine he's not gonna look like I bet his underlying numbers improve a little bit just because the quality of teams better.
But that's right, because he'll still be asked to do a lot, because you don't acquire a player at that price and not ask him to do a lot. But
he'll be second pair. Right, because they have Ellis and Provorov.
Right, exactly. So, Barry, did you put him down to the second pair? I think he's instantly going to be a better player.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, good for him, too. Like, it sounds like he's, like, he'll be happier. Like, I don't have, like, any, like, ill will towards Risto. In fact, I think Risto giving us that return is, like, he did, like, a service to the Sabres. Yeah. So
he was really he was cool about it yesterday, too. He got asked about Buffalo, and he had a funny comment. He was like, I'm not going to show my ass to Buffalo. I've got nothing bad to say about the people there or the friends I made there.
Yeah, I always liked him.
What a way to put it, by the way. I'm not going to show my ass to Buffalo.
But I think, like, you know what he probably was mad about is, like, all the players that did that on their way out. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's still there. Like, I bet that probably pisses these guys off.
Yeah.
Like, you were my teammate, and you're just gonna crap on us. Like, I bet I could see him being very mad about that. I think he everything I've heard about him and everything people have said is, like, Ristolainen's, like, a great guy.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, you wish him the best.
I do. Listen, like, all of – I know it's hard for – It might sound weird coming out of my mouth because I've been railing against him for years. Because
it's not personal; it's his play.
No, like, exactly. Because the results, I think, have never equated to the rest of it. But what is the rest of it? I mean, the guy is going to give you. He's a straight shooter every time with the media, and trust me, in my job, holy cow, is that a breath of fresh air when a guy's actually going to tell you what he thinks? And he always did that. The beard is awesome. The hair is awesome. You know, he's the whole Drago look. He obviously worked his ass off to be good. Like, I don't doubt for a second that guy put every ounce of energy he had into being the best version of himself. I mean, he's lifting like tractor tires in the off season. You see it on Instagram with him. And, like, he was fun to watch. Like, it is, there is definitely something to be said for. I don't think there's a lot to be said, but there is something to be said for a guy that every time Brad Marchand plays him, Brad Marchand is losing his mind because he's pissed off. Like, Ristolainen did that to people. Ovechkin, that happened with. It's Crosby. Like, it happened to all those star players. And, like, I do enjoy that. I enjoy seeing that on the ice. So, yeah, I absolutely wish him the best. And I think, I honestly think, I don't think he'll be, you know, a superstar or anything. But if he's playing 20 minutes a night, 18 to 20 minutes a night on Philly's second pair, he's going to be a better player.
Yeah, and the thing that I always liked about Risto is the effort was, you never had to question it. He was always going to give it his all. Whether, like, I mean, he would mess up sometimes, but I think that just happens because, like, he was playing above his playing above his limits.
Yeah.
And, like, but you know what? He would never, like, he would never, like, complain about that. Or he would never, like, he would play above his limits, and he would never put, like, the blame on anything else. He would, like, he was always, like, okay to be, like, you know, I got to be better, or, like, stuff like that. So, like, I liked him a lot. And it's a shame it didn't go better for us with him. There was nothing I would have liked more than see him in the playoffs with the Sabres.
Oh, yeah. He would have been really fun to watch in the playoffs.
Because I think, like, seeing him in the playoffs with Philly would be kind of cool. Like, I just want to see him, like, because, like, he's going to be, like, the king of scrums if he makes the playoffs.
King of scrums.
Like, he's going to start every scrum. Every scrum will be a Risto scrum.
You're right. He's absolutely.
He'll be on the bench, and he'll start a scrum.
Yep. he finishes his Sabres career sixth all-time in points by Sabre defensemen, by the way. Now, this stat has only been kept track of in the NHL since 1997, but since 1997, Ristolainen has played the second most minutes on the Buffalo Sabres. Only Alexei Zhitnik has played more. Honestly, me and you, I mean, me especially, because I've watched almost every game like the last 10 years. I think I've probably, it's safe to say I've watched more Ristolainen than any athlete in my life. I mean, 13,000 minutes. 13,000 minutes.
The most mileage for any 26-year-old in sports history.
That, I can't believe he's 26. He's only 26, right? Like, Ekman Larson gets traded yesterday, and it's like, oh, he's 4 years older than Ristolainen? What?
Like, it's the so tread funny. On those tires. this guy's gonna walk into Philly and he's like, I've seen some things.
You guys don't even know what it's like.
you guys are pampered over here.
By the way, let's see what Chuck Fletcher's record is against the Sabres in trades, because he's made six trades with the Buffalo Sabres in his career. 2013, Chuck Fletcher trades Matt Hackett, Johan Larson, a second round pick that became Václav Karabacek, and a first round pick that became Nikita Zadorov for Jason Pominville. Who wins that trade? I think the Wild, maybe.
Well, Zadorov, you could argue, contributed to O'Reilly.
I guess, right. Larson was a good bottom
six. I'd call that a wash, because I don't think Pominville, like, went to the Wild and really boosted them a ton.
He was good.
He was a solid player.
Right, but he didn't,
like, elevate. That was, like, a lot of stuff for Jason Pominville.
Yeah. Okay, 1 year later, that was in 2013. 2014, March 5th, 2014, the Sabres acquire Torrey Mitchell and 2 second-round picks. And Chuck Fletcher gets Matt Molson, a rental Matt Molson, and Cody McCormick.
Victory for the Sabres.
I would agree with that. Somehow that second round pick, by the way, became Vitek Vanacek, who's currently the Capitals goaltender.
Wouldn't that be nice to have him?
Yeah, it'd be very nice. All right. 1 year later, March 2nd of 2015, man, this guy, every deadline, Chuck Fletcher acquires Chris Stewart for a second round pick that became Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Crazy. That's a win for us too.
So what are we, 2-0-1 so far? Sabres are 2-0-1 against Chuck Fletcher. All right. Then 2017, Chuck Fletcher sends Jason Pominville back to the Sabres along with Marco Scandella and a 4th-round pick that became Linus Kronholm, who's still in the Sabres organization developing. The Wild acquire Tyler Ennis, Marcus Foligno, and a third round pick that became someone named Jack McBain, who I have no idea who that is. So who wins that trade?
That one, I think, might go to them.
Because Foligno is still Foligno's
like pretty solid, yeah.
All right, so 2-1-1 are the Sabres. 1-2-1.
Because I think we kind of botched like trading Scandella and stuff.
Yep. All right, now we've got Chuck Fletcher in Philadelphia. This one maybe is just a wash because I don't even care. He trades Taylor Laier, who is a Rochester player. I don't even think he ever got with the Sabres, for Justin Bailey.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Wash.
Justin Bailey. And then, of course, the trade that just happened, Ristolainen for Robert Hägg, a first and a second. I think at this point you have to declare that a win for the Sabres. At this point,
yes. Yeah. I guess if Risto dominates and wins the Stanley Cup, then yeah, we can talk.
So I think we had him at 1-4 and or 1-3-2 was our record for Chuck Fletcher in trades with the Buffalo Sabres.
Grit and size.
Yes. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
By the way, the player that the Sabres ended up selecting with the 14th overall pick, the 13th selection, stupid Coyotes in the NHL, gonna complicate that crap. The Sabres select Isaac Rosén. I think that's at this point how we pronounce it, Rosén. And I interviewed him last night at WGR and I said Rosen. So apologies to him, not that he's listening to this anyway. But we already lose the puns. We already lose the joke of the Buffalo finally got their Rosen in the first round. That joke is already dead because it looks like it's Rosen. But anyways, like, I don't know. Like, it seemed like I wouldn't consider it a reach because he was almost by everybody ranked in the lower teens. Like, Bob McKenzie had him 18th. Sportsnet had him 16th. Dober Prospects had him 16th. Smot Scouting had him 17th. And they picked him 14th. So, like, to me, I don't think that's a crazy reach by any means. If you don't know a lot about the player so far, really good speed, an amazing shot, one of the best shots in the draft class. But this is not like Victor Olofsson 2.0. This guy is just watching a couple of film breakdowns of his play last night. This guy is super creative with his zone entries. He's the guy you want carrying the puck into the zone. He can create for himself. I also asked him last night if he's ever played center before, because he's played primarily wing in the last couple of years. He said he played center 3 years ago and he wants to try center again. He wants to see if before he gets to the NHL, he could start to develop as a centerman. I don't know if he will actually get the opportunity to do that. But at this point he projects to be a winger. I liked the positional selection. Because the goalie was the number one player left on the board. Jesper Wallstad was the number one player left on the board. He was a goaltender. There was no defenseman worth the pick. I didn't want them to go defense anyway. I think they're pretty much set in terms of organizational depth on the blue line with Power and Dahlin and Joki Haru and Ryan Johnson and Samuelson and Laxton. Like, it just goes on and on and on. Who are my top six forwards of the future? And I think they had to go forward here. I'm kind of glad they did.
Yeah, I agree. At some point you got to just say, like, with the mid round of the draft, like, kind of trust the management. I know the Sabres don't really deserve like our trust. But you know, like, I think they got better people in there. Like, I think they got, and I think they got a lot of like unique voices, which I like. I think that's a key to having a good organization, is having differing voices. Like, you have Kevin Adams, former player, you have analytics guy, you have a lot of different different takes that I think can get you to a strong consensus. And everything you've said about this player sounds like it fits what the Sabres kind of want to do, which is get back to speed. Like, yep, the last time the Sabres were really good, they blew teams away with speed. And I think that we're getting to a point where the Sabres seem like that's the mission that they want to have, or that's like the idea that they want to build the team like. And you saw with Granato, like, they weren't very good, mm-hmm, but they tried to move the puck quickly and they tried to be quick.
Right. So the pace of play was way faster with
Granato. Right. Where Kruger was like, let's.
Ugh.
It's just so boring. It's so boring.
Let's clock him up. Right.
It's just, so, you know, you don't really know until you know. I mean, we're going to wait probably 3 years for this kid. But, you know, like, it is what it is. Like, I'm okay with it. I saw a little bit of vitriol, but not too much. Like, so, you know, and also, I always say this with the draft too. You just don't know. Like, right, nobody really knows.
You're all like, lottery picks.
Yeah, and it's just like, we'll see what happens. Like,
and what you get usually from the 13th pick is, you know, you're probably looking at like an above 80% chance that player is going to be an NHLer, but probably below a 40% chance that the guy's going to be a star.
Right.
That seems to just be like kind of how that shakes out. And so, like, this kid's got a shot, right? Like, just stack up enough forward prospects, and eventually you're going to hit on a couple of them. You know, Jack Quinn and Isaac Rosen, chances are both of them are not going to be great players. But when you got two, I've got a very good shot that one of them is going to be a great player. And that's, to me, what I need to start. JJ Paterka maybe deserves inclusion in that conversation as well. I know he was a second round pick, but he's had a really good year of development since then. So yeah, just keep stacking up the forward prospects, because, like, especially at center, like Cousins and Mittelstadt, and what else do you got right now? Like, you're going to need to get, I think, more center prospects for the future from the Eichel trade, which we'll get to maybe in a second here. But I like the Rosen pick as well. By the way, history of the 13th overall selection. Did you see this? I tweeted about it. I'm hoping you didn't, but if you did, it's okay.
I did not.
Okay, so this might make you feel worse about the odds of the 13th player selected becoming a superstar. There's one Saber in the top 10 all time in goals scored by 13th overall picks. And it's a guy that we watched play in our lifetimes. Do you have any guesses as to who this player might be?
13th overall?
13th overall. We watched his entire career. Me and you watched his entire career. And he is 7th all time. And he scored most of those goals with the Sabres.
Is he still playing?
He's not. He's recently retired.
13th overall.
In fact, he was the final Buffalo Sabre that was on the 06-07 team. He was the final Sabres player still on the team that also played in 06-07.
Was it? I mean, when was Vanek picked?
Vanek was 5th. Vanek was a lot higher than that.
Not Vanek.
He played with Vanek a lot.
Roy?
Not Roy. Roy was a second round pick, I think. Not a bad guess, though.
Palmville?
No, Palmville was a second round pick also.
I don't know.
Drew Stafford.
Oh, I like Drew Stafford.
Drew Stafford's 7th all time in goals by 13th overall picks. That make you feel better or worse about Rosen's chances?
I don't know. I think that's obviously it's just like an interesting stat, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think that means anything. Like, what is it, like 13's cursed?
Yeah.
Bad number.
Because Stafford's one of the all-time greats.
Stafford's a great.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, they get Rosen. I'm excited to see him. I want to see development camp. But see if
he
they
turned
even
into
that
Drew
year,
Stafford,
but
I think I'd be okay with that.
Ooh, would I take – I think you'd have to say yes. Right?
Yeah, like a solid top 6 forward.
Yeah, a 20 goal scorer that had 1 year where he scored 30.
I'd take that right now.
I think I would too. I'll put that up on a poll at Locked On Sabres. Would you take Isaac Rosen being Drew Stafford?
I don't think they're very comparable players, though.
They're You know, like what was
Stafford? Stafford had a good shot.
I don't think Rosen's release seems to be at a higher level. But right, Stafford had a good shot, and Stafford could carry the puck. He had speed.
Yeah. Okay. So,
he was not as dynamic, it seems, though.
Here's your first, though. Isaac Rosen is Drew Stafford.
Yeah, Isaac Rosen is Drew Stafford. Okay, finally, final thing we need to get to. I don't think we really need to spend time on Owen Power because we've done it a million times. They don't trade Jack Eichel, and it didn't sound like it ever got close. The only thing we heard about Eichel throughout the night was from Elliot Friedman that the Sabres asking price for Eichel was too high for teams. I mean, obviously, because they didn't trade him, and that this could linger. But good. I don't view that as a negative. I view that as like,
thing.
Yeah, you said it earlier with, did you say it earlier with Ristolainen or Reinhart? I think you said it with Ristolainen. Like Kevin Adams sticking to his guns. I'd much rather have that.
I'd be insulted if he wasn't. Eichel's got a 10-year contract.
Well,
we don't have to move him.
10 million.
I know we have, what?
5 years.
I mean, I'm obviously like, saying words, okay. But like, he's on the team for a while.
Yeah.
We don't have to move him. What's he going to do, retire? Like, I'm serious. Like,
right.
There is nothing. There is no rush besides that no movement clause comes into effect. And in reality, even then, like, oh, you want to, you're going to use your no movement clause, guy that wants to leave? The Sabres have all the cards. There is no reason to press it and be like, oh, we'll just take whatever you want. This is Jack Eichel. Like, this isn't Ristolainen. This isn't Reinhart. I love that they aren't lowering their price. Because these teams that want him have to make it worth our while, or else we don't have to move him. And I really believe that. Like, you don't have to move him. Like, he'll be miserable, I guess, but like, you signed the contract. Like, you're getting paid. And you just have to, you know, wait it out until we get the right trade for both of us. So
I also want to like reach back into his postseason press conference. And one comment he made that nobody ever talks about, he kind of got asked about being on the team at the start of the season. And he gave an answer like I'm the captain of this team and I have an obligation to the young guys. Like he made it sound like he does not want to set a bad example. Even if he's in there thinking I don't want to be here. He knows enough that Dylan Cousins is sitting next to him and Casey Mittelstadt is sitting next to him. Like he's not going to sit there pouting and not trying because he knows he owes something to those kids. And that's how he sounded. We'll see if that actually gets put to action if he is on the team at the beginning of the year, but Eichel doesn't strike me as a guy that's just going to quit. You know, he might try to force his way out, but I don't think that's the same as quitting. Like we saw with like Pierre-Luc Dubois, for instance, in Columbus, where the guy just gave up on the ice. Eichel doesn't strike me as that guy. So to me, Reinhart seemed like there was more pressure for him to go. He can force his way into unrestricted free agency 1 year from now. Ristolainen too. If Ristolainen wanted to go, he could do it in 1 year. If Reinhart wants to go, he could do it in 1 year. If Eichel wants to go, he, technically speaking, can't make that happen for 5 seasons.
Right. Like, it's just, it's this. I don't think he's complaining when the checks come in. Like, and I don't, I agree with you, though. Like, he doesn't seem like that type of guy. Like, he's a competitor. And, like, I imagine that he should be there. And I think, also, he's human. Like, people want to be liked. Like, they want to be... I don't think Eichel wants to be known as this miserable punk that doesn't want to play because his team loses too much. Like, I think that he does want to be traded. I think that he wants to get out of it, get a fresh start. I mean, I understand it. I don't really blame him. Mm-hmm. But, like, I do think, like, he is, like, he's a person just like everybody else. Like, other people wouldn't want to – like, people do suck it up when they don't like their job because – you know, they don't want to let down their coworkers that are maybe their friends and stuff like that. Now, I did think like losing Reinhart probably adds to Ooh, you know, yeah. probably not super happy about that. But I did think, like, if they got, like, good returns for everybody, and he looks and he's like, oh, like, this team could be eventually, like, I kind of, like, you know, maybe there was, like, a change of, maybe could have there been a change of heart elsewhere or something like that, like, Is Eichel a fickle creature? Like, it's just like, oh, Vetrano. Huh, huh.
Yeah. I will say this. It was alarming, though, that Kevin Adams, when asked about it last night, about if he knows that Eichel is skating, because Eichel's agent told The Athletic, John Vogel, on Friday morning that Eichel is back skating. And then Adams got asked about that and like, all right, well, where is he in his rehab? Because he's back on the ice. And Adams' response was, I don't know that Eichel's skating. He's not in town. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's just playing coy there. Maybe he does know and he's just not telling us. Or maybe the guy just doesn't care if his captain is skating because he knows that the deal's going to happen at some point. I mean, that would be hard to believe, but I thought that was interesting too.
I think it would have been a good opportunity for him to be like, oh, I guess he didn't need that surgery then.
Like... that would have been a gangster move by Kevin Adams.
Feeling great after the Risto trade.
And then finally, I think the last thing to really speak on, the best thing last night, maybe the one thing to mention about Owen Power, the Ryan Miller video. Did you watch it?
Awesome.
That was awesome. What a job by the Sabres. And I mean, because come on, you want to build fan morale and you want people to feel good. Just throw Ryan Miller around.
I got chills watching it. Like I don't know why stuff like that gets to me. Like I don't know. Like it's just like I love like the dramatic like oh the old lady at the grocery store gives you a hug. The one guy calls you out on your plays how you misplayed a puck. I was like ah. The way Ryan Miller is a good like he was good at that. Like
yeah.
Like, I don't know like where he got that from. Like he channeled like his inner like Liev Schreiber, who usually does like voiceovers. Like I was like, wow, damn, Ryan Miller, look at you. I know he's like an artist, but he's like a photographer. Like right. I didn't know he did voice work too.
And guitarist. Yeah.
Yeah, like Ryan Miller is just he's a Renaissance man. Miller can do whatever he wants. I love Ryan.
I do too. Like his retirement press conference, he said he got asked about if he wants to go into coaching. And his response was, I don't think I'd ever want to do coaching, especially with the schedule. I want to be a roster builder though. One day he's like, I'm going to take a year or two. I'm going to do like whatever I want. I'm going to go hang out on a boat somewhere. And then like, yeah, I could see myself being a roster builder one day. Mark my words. That man is going to run the Buffalo Sabres someday.
Oh, please.
Like he's got to go through, you know, go through like what did Drury do? Drury spent years and years like building up his resume with the Rangers. Miller's got to go through that at some point if he does want to do that. But I would trust that man with my life. And I would absolutely trust that man with my hockey team.
He's like a good type of Renaissance man, not like Ralph Kruger, who's like writing books on coaching when he clearly isn't very good at coaching.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Miller's like actually like good at the stuff he does.
By the way, we are recording this right before 11 o'clock. So sorry, we don't have the second round pick name for you. The Sabres would be on the clock, 33rd overall. I could tell you right now my analysis, though. Well, the guy, they probably thought he was a first round prospect and he's going to develop for a couple years. And hey, maybe we got something here. That's pretty much all I got.
Will they draft a Russian player?
No, they will not.
Zero.
I looked back. They haven't done it since they drafted Glotov, Vasily Glotov in the 7th round, like 5 years ago. And then you've got to go back to Grigorenko and Zadorov before that. And they played here. It's not like they were scouting them overseas. Grigorenko played in the QMJHL. Zadorov played in the OHL. You've got to go back to like 2002.
That was Darcy, right?
Darcy, like early Darcy. Oh, well, Darcy was Zadorov and Grigorenko, yes. But to find a guy they drafted out of one of the Russian junior leagues, you've got to go back to 2002. Like, they just don't
do it.
That's wild. It's crazy. It's like
one of the best moves ever was like literally smuggling a player out of the Soviet Union as an organization.
It's my favorite move in their history.
It's the greatest Sabres thing in the world. It's like the Sabres were literally in like Bridge of Spies.
They thought they were being followed by the KGB.
How that's not a movie. is crazy.
I know. Like the way Don Meehan told the story, like where they're in the back of a car and they're driving around Helsinki, Finland, and they're staying moving because they think the KGB is following them and their flight's not for another hour. Like, holy cow.
That's a sports movie I want, not Kurt Warner bagging groceries.
Oh, well, we got to watch that one.
That's going to be a while. I think that, I mean, this has nothing to do with the Sabres, but
that's fine.
My God.
That looks like the worst movie ever created. Chuck. They picked Chuck to play Kurt Warner. Okay, there is breaking news in the NHL, not necessarily pertaining to the Sabres, but Cale Makar has signed a 6-year extension with the Avalanche, $9 million per year. That comes in, it's a lot of money, but that comes in below Seth Jones, and that's crazy to me because I think Makar right now is the best defenseman in hockey, or arguably the best defenseman in hockey, and I don't think you can make that argument about Seth Jones.
Seth Jones, I saw his analytical numbers are like pretty bad. They're like really bad.
Right.
It was like the Flyers turned around and gave Risto like 9.5.
Right. Now, I guess the one Sabres way I could spin this is, what is going to happen with Rasmus Dahlin? They did say, who was it? The agent, maybe, or was it the Sabres a couple days ago, that they've begun preliminary contract talks as Dahlin's a restricted free agent, as was Makar. Makar goes big extension, 6 years, $9 million per year. You also had Miro Heiskanen, who's often compared to Dahlin as an up-and-coming defenseman in the sport, and he signed an 8-year deal worth $8.45 million per year. But I don't know, doesn't Dahlin's career so far lead you to believe like they would go bridge deal and not some massive extension already? Or would you go massive extension?
I think I'd rather do massive.
Yeah.
I'd rather do longer. Like, I mean, obviously, I think as a team, you'd always want to do like longer term, smaller number. Mm-hmm. Like, but I think that's what I imagine that's what they should do. Is like, I would do like try to get that like 8 years, like 7. I'm betting that Dahlin's gonna be great this year.
Mm-hmm. I am too. 8 years.
Like, I really think with Granato, like Granato's exactly what he needed. Like, he just seems looser. But also like more in control. Like I think Kruger had him like standing on his. He just felt like he looked like he was like standing on his head and like was just like very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like I think he'll be night and day.
Yeah, I think so too. 8 years, 7 is really interesting.
It's also a contract year. Like I think players just in general, but like really amp it up.
Like, wow, that's such a commitment, though, that contract. But you're so much upside on that to get great value out of it. It's like when the Avalanche signed MacKinnon to a $6 million a year deal, and then he exploded. And it's the best contract in hockey in a runaway. Like, I love the idea of that for Dahlin. By the way, we'll end on this. A really funny tweet from Anthony Chandra of Expected Buffalo. Per sources, Frank Vetrano has destroyed his phone and disappeared. Last seen in Barbados until he is tracked down. Trade details cannot be released. His last written words before vanishing were, "You can't make me go," which he scrawled in the sand. More to come.
that's good. I mean, would you be surprised? He's like, why? Why does it have to? When teams find out they're trading with Buffalo, do you think all the players like start scrambling?
They start running. No, yeah, they just put their phones away. Like,
what do you think Robert Hoggs?
Robert Hogg.
Yeah,
he's probably fine.
Yeah,
he's got me to play there.
I'll play more.
Yeah, I'll play more there.
Play.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's gonna do it for us. Thanks everybody for listening. Round 2 is just beginning right now, so sorry we don't have the second pick for you. Their second round pick for you, but we'll talk about it in an upcoming episode, of course. And we'll see what the Reinhardt trade is when it's officially made. And maybe there's an Eichel trade in the coming days as well. We'll stay on top of it here in the Locked On Sabres podcast. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.